And we are so grateful that Hope Christian Fellowship has a lot of ministries that touches financially and also personally, not only overseas, but here at home, and even within our own county, Monroe County. So we're grateful this morning to have Pastor Domenico Denisi, finally two Italian preachers in the same room. Man, that is good. Man, listen, if the anointing can't come now today, it'll never come, brother. No, he is a precious, precious friend of mine. He is a pastor also in Spencerport and has a wonderful church there. In fact, in Lord willing, in a couple months, I'll be preaching there. I won't tell you when because I don't want you there. I want you here. But he is a man of God. He has rescue and revive ministries. He goes throughout the states and sharing the gospel to college students as well as on the streets, similar to what our brother Julio does with the Wake Him Up ministry. But the good thing is that we're on the same team. We're all on the same team. And I want you to know the people that we support here so that when we mention their name from the pulpit, that it'll be somebody that you could put a face to. So I want to ask us to put our hands together as we welcome Pastor Domenico Denisi.
We're good? All right. Pastor Gavano, thank you for the introduction. It's been a while since a Sunday morning, and maybe, I want to say maybe 5 years. I've been here at other times. I spoke at the certificate graduation. That was an honor. Anytime I'm able to speak here, I don't take it lightly. It's an honor. This is a great, great city fellowship. Be very candid with you. Those of you that know me know I'm going to be very direct with you. Unfortunately, in the city of Rochester, like many cities, there's some good churches, praise God, and then there's some not so good churches. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, some are building God's kingdom, like Pastor Galvano, and some are building their own. Praise God, you go to a church that's building God's kingdom. So you could clap again for that. I want to just briefly take a couple minutes to tell you about Rescue and Revive Ministries. Because it's been so many years since I've been here on a Sunday morning, we do have a table outside in front, and Minister Mike and Karen Maller are out there manning it. You can talk with them. Everything's free out there. It's just some resources, bracelets, and the newsletter. Because Rescue and Revive Ministries was started on August 13th, 2018, by faith. And anything that's of God must be by faith, just so you know. And I don't have time to tell you the back story of it, but I was telling my oldest son the other day that Rescue and Revive Ministries is one of the things in my life I never doubt. I never worry about it. I never not have peace about it because I know how it started. I know who started it, not me. It was the Lord through me. And so we are a mobile evangelistic ministry, locally, nationally, and internationally. In fact, this little necklace is the country of Kenya, which we have a lot of work that we do over there. I've been working in Kenya for 5 years now. We've built Rescue and Revive Ministries Kisoko. We have a metal sheet church. We just completed a water well in Turkana, which is a very primitive part of Kenya. We have 3 acres, which we feed in need areas with maize, that's corn and beans. So we have a lot going on. In fact, Hope Christian Fellowship, your sister campus, just helped us raise money to go back and purchase some land to build an orphanage there next to our church. So praise God for that. Pastor Galvano mentioned the crusades that we do. That's actually how this ministry started 10 years ago. A crusade, by the way, you think of Greg Laurie, you think of some famous evangelist, Billy Graham or whoever. Well, crusade by definition is an energized and organized campaign for a specific cause. It doesn't say it has to be in a stadium. We certainly are energized, we're certainly organized, and our cause is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have a prayer team that goes out, made up of men and women, that pray throughout every place we go to the week before the evangelists go. And actually, Julio, your evangelist here, he leads one of the evangelism teams. In fact, Julio used to be on the board of Rescue and Revive Ministries. So I want to just stop there telling you about Rescue and Revive and connect it to this thought. When you give unto the Lord, you don't just give your tithes and your offerings, you give your people. At Spencerport Bible, where a pastor said, I've been pastoring the last few years, we have not only Mike and Karen Maller that are getting ready to go to Panama to be missionaries, we have another family, a great family from Elam, who's been helping us tremendously for almost the last 2 years. Well, they're getting ready to go and start pastoring a church in Westbury. Now, can I just tell you? I'm excited about that. You don't just give your money, although that's a needed tool for the gospel. You give your talents and you give your people. And you know when you give away your people, you know what he does? He brings other people in. Right at this time, as we're going to lose probably about 10 people, already those 10 people have been replenished before they're even out the door. Never worry about giving away your people. Here's what God does. He takes his best. He takes your best. He takes your first fruits of your people when they're equipped, and then he sends them out to make another place better. That's how the Great Commission works. That's how it works. See, in the kingdom of God, it works like this. First, your birth. You're born into the kingdom of God. First, your birth. Hope your birth. You're born again. If you're baptized and you're not born again, it does no good, as that's symbolic of new life in Christ. Then you're built. You're built up, you're equipped. Ephesians 4, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets. Why? For the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body. Then you should be blessed. Your leaders, your pastors should bless you. But then there's one more step, which sometimes pastors forget. Thank you, Sue said it. Thank you, Sue. Then you send them. That's how it works in God's economy. That's how it's supposed to work. It's not about Hope Christian Fellowship, Rescue and Revive Ministries, Wake Them Up, Father's Heart, Spencerport Bible. List goes on and on. It's about the kingdom of God. And so keep that in mind this morning. I knew it was when Kazmik asked me about speaking here, I realized it was coincided with the men's retreat. So immediately I thought about the women. And the title of the message this morning, be women are worthy. And women are, I want to hear the men say amen to that too, by the way. You know, without the women, there's no men. You realize that, right? Women are worthy, walk in your witness. And I want to just look at two passages to bring to fruition, manifest this title of the sermon. John 4 and Titus 2. Now, you're familiar with the woman at the well. Raise your hand if you've heard of the woman at the well. We all know about this woman at the well. Let me just give you a backstory. Let me pray and then we'll get into it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this wonderful place. Thank you for this congregation of saints, those that are set apart for the glory of God. Bless them and keep them. Holy Spirit, speak through me in spite of myself. Fill me with your spirit. Minister to your people. In Jesus' name, and all of Hope Christian Fellowship said, amen. The backstory, if you don't know it, and I'd be surprised if you're a student of the Bible or if you've been around church or Christendom for a long time, here's the backstory. Jesus says to his disciples, I have to go to Samaria. Now, King James says, I must needs go to Samaria. Now, we don't speak like that anymore, but the point is this. He had to go to Samaria. Where was Samaria? It was the place no one else would go. Jesus said, I have to go to this place other people are not going to. You see, the Jewish people despised this group of people called the Samaritans so much that they would take a much longer route around the outskirts to avoid the entire region of Samaria. But Jesus, our Lord, the one that is worthy, the one that we were singing praises unto, he says, I have to go there. And, of course, the disciples come along with him. And it's about noontime, right about 12 noon. And this is not a time of day, typically, where a woman, like this woman of Samaria, we don't know her name. This is not the normal time she would do her normal duties or chores of going to fetch water. Remember, fetching water back then was much different. some type of large piece of pottery on the hip or maybe on your shoulder, on your head, walking a long way in the heat of Samaria to get something that's required for life, and that's water, of course. And it's noon. And there's a reason this woman has went at noontime, because she doesn't want to be seen. Why? Two reasons. A, she's a woman. Now, if anybody tells you Jesus is a male chauvinist, please correct them. Jesus came to liberate women. He came to set women free. She didn't want to be seen because she was a woman, but there's something even more shameful for her in the day. She had had five husbands. How do we know that? Jesus had pointed that out to her. So she goes at a time by herself where she can't be seen, but guess who's there? The one that matters. The only one that would go. And he's sitting at the well. And he starts a conversation. I want you to keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Look at how simple this is to start a conversation about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does he say? He says, give me a drink. Give me a drink. That'd be like saying, hey, can I have a ride? Hey, excuse me, may I have one of those? Hey, see, people think that gospel ministry and missions, you have to be a quote-unquote capital E evangelist. That's absolutely not biblical. It's not true. You have to have a desire, a burden for people, like Jesus does. You just got to pray and say, God, break my heart. I had the opportunity to speak at Eastside, and I shared with them this, which I'm going to share with you. If you were there, forgive me. I'm going to repeat it. Before you can win a city, Samaria or the city of Rochester, you have to weep over that city. When Nehemiah heard the condition of his people in his day, the gates on fire, the walls broken down, he says he did this. He sat down and he wept and he mourned and he fasted and he prayed. He wept and he mourned and he fasted and he prayed and prayed to the God of heaven, and God broke him, and then he went. And he did something in 52 days. The people said, that is not possible. Certainly with men it's not, but with God all things are possible. Jesus, looking at the people's condition, the state of Jerusalem, he looks and he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I desire to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not, as he's weeping over the very people, his own people, have rejected him. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He was given a ministry in which God said, they're not going to listen, but preach anyway until the last one is there, till the place is not inhabited. See, I want to share this one truth with you before we go further. Please listen to me. A lot of people miss this. I don't preach the gospel. You know my main purpose for preaching the gospel is for the glory of God. That's my number one purpose. But I can't save a soul. Salvation is of the Lord. I can partake in it as a witness. I can plant a seed. I can water a seed. But I preach for the glory of God, whether somebody scoffs at me, laughs at me, rejects, or receives the Lord. That's what Isaiah did. That's what Jeremiah did. That's what John the Baptist did. He didn't have what seemed to be a very successful ministry. It ended with his head cut off. All the disciples were martyred except for John, who they tried to kill by oil, and eventually he was exiled to Patmos. You have to get this. You have to get this. Ministry, missions, evangelism, pastoral ministry, it doesn't matter what it is. It's not about stardom. It's about service. And Jesus is the ultimate example of that. As he's at this well, it's hot out. This woman comes. And the woman in verse 9 of chapter 4 says, how is this that you're a Jew? Ask to drink of me. I'm a woman of Samaria. The Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. No, but Jesus does. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, now he's swinging it into the spiritual, and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. The woman doesn't get it yet. She says, the woman says, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. How am I to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? We just sang about Jacob, which gave us the well and drank himself and his children, his cattle. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She says, give me some. I want that. Who wouldn't? And then Jesus says, go and call your husband. He says that specifically to let her know, I know you. I know what you've been through. I know your condition. And God says that to you today. See, some of you, and maybe somebody's here today right now, you think God really doesn't know. I promise you, he does. You really don't understand what I've been through. Well, I will tell you, I may not understand, but this Jesus does. I've talked to people I know who have committed acts that they've been in prison for several years. God knows. People who have been victims of domestic abuse, God knows. People who have committed thefts, punishable crimes. People who have been involved in relationships that are hellish. Children who have just treated them worse than a dog. God knows. God knows. Just like Jesus knows this woman of Samaria. He's not surprised. And he chose her. He chose to reveal himself to her where nobody else would go. He says, you have five husbands. Verse 19, she says, I perceive you're a prophet. And Jesus says, woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem you worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, verse 23, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father. Please finish this with me. In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must do so in spirit and truth. The woman says, I know that when the Messiah comes, that's the chosen one of God, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus says, I am he. I am he. He reveals himself, the one that's speaking to you. And then here comes the guys he picked. And what are they thinking? They are shocked. Why? Because normally talking to a woman in that day, it's wasting your time. They literally thought it was wasting your time to talk to a woman. And who's Jesus talking to? A Samaritan woman who's been married five times. And he's meeting her at a place when she tried to be alone. But see, if you go to the depths of hell, the Word of God says, God's there. Where can I flee from your presence, King David said. He's there. He's omnipresent. Whatever's done in secret will be brought to the light, Jesus said. Whatever you hear whispered, whatever you hear in secret, go and shout from the rooftops. And fast forward a few verses after the disciples are astonished that Jesus would spend time with the Samaritan woman. Listen to verse 39 for sake of time. This woman drops her water pot when the lights go off. She gets it. It's almost a picture of salvation. She gets it. She's so excited that the Messiah has revealed himself to her, she leaves the very thing she comes for, the water pot, and she runs back into Samaria. And verse 39 says this, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, that's Jesus, for the saying of the woman which testified. That's a testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Some say that this woman was the first woman evangelist. I can see that. I can see that. Women were at the tomb. Women. A woman. Do you remember the woman that came into Simon's, the Pharisee's house, and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears and washed them with her hair? And Jesus said, look at this woman, what she's done. Hey, buddy, you haven't done any of this. You're supposed to be some big, high, and mighty guy. No, it was this poor woman, because he who is forgiven much loves much. Luke 8:3 says, "And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him," that's Jesus, "of their substance," that's what they owned, "and in many ways to serve Jesus." Who did that? Women. Women. Do you want to know something? That one of the most victorious work done by a woman would not be possible by a man. By the seed of a woman. By the seed of a woman. That's the seed of Jesus Christ, God incarnate, born of a virgin. By the seed of a woman, you would crush the head of Satan. Without a woman, that would not be possible. Oh, I don't care what society says you. Only women can get pregnant. You know that, right? That's how twisted, that's how sick, that's how perverted we have become. Please don't accept this. Please don't accept the garbage and the filth that's out there, the perversion. See, this woman, I want to transition just a moment here. And think about this woman. What was she doing? She was just naturally doing what she does every day. Like many of the ladies here do. You wake up, you take a shower, you get ready, maybe you put some makeup on, maybe you make breakfast for your kids or whatever. And you do your natural chores. Some of you work, some of you stay at home, you do things. And it's just natural. You're just doing naturally what you have to do. And this is what this woman was doing. She's just naturally going. The only thing different about it was the time she went purposely. But she's just naturally going to get something she needed, water every day. And what happened? Something very, very, very supernatural. So by her just being herself, naturally, something supernatural happened, and she began to just walk in her witness. To just walk in her witness. You see, because here's what people miss in ministry. Man, they miss it. Pastor Galvano, I know you know this. They miss this, that before you can stand up here like this, which, by the way, still I'm in shock. Still, I'm in shock that I'm here in a position like this, and I tell you that before God. Before God exalts a man or a woman, he must humble him. King Nebuchadnezzar, the man who was the king of Babylon, eventually was humbled, reduced to that of an animal. And he came to this conclusion. He says, all those that walk in pride will be abased. They'll be humbled. God opposes pride. He gives grace to the humble. The character's got to be there first. You ever bite into a piece of chicken and it's pink inside? Oh, it looked good on the outside. Listen, I love the city of Rochester. Please don't take offense to this. I'm going to tell you this truthfully because I say it in Kenyon when I go there. I have to be truthful. Worship him in spirit and what? Truth. I want to just share something with you. There's a lot of ministers in your own backyard that are still pink inside. Oh, they might be get out, woo, hoop and holler, dancing on Sunday, all kinds of stuff. Oh, they can dance, they can shout, sweat rags, blah, blah. And they live like the devil once they get off this platform. You don't think God knows that? Who are they fooling? Those that know not Christ. Those that know not Christ. And you see, in Titus 2, I'm going to tell you this. I watched a movie last night. My wife is gone. By the way, my wife loves this fellowship. She actually called. I had Pastor Galvano talk. She was sad. When I told her I was coming here a couple weeks ago before she left, she said, oh, I love that church. She does. My wife's, believe me, if she's going to tell you the truth, at least me, I can guarantee you that. So last night, I watched an old movie, Karate Kid. You got to be at least 40, 50 years old, okay? Not the new one. The original Karate Kid, 1980. So I just watched it on my phone. I realized something. You know what? Times have changed. They've changed. The hairstyles have changed. But you know what? God's word and God's requirements never change. You just said it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when I read to you about this, it hasn't changed. From it was written, inspired by the Holy Spirit in Titus chapter 2. See, this is what's needed for a woman before he begins to have you really be a witness. First, you got to walk in it. Well, what do you have to walk in? What God requires. What it looks like for a godly woman. And here's what it is. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it says this, the aged women, that's the older women, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness. They're set apart. They walk different. They walk worthy of a witness for Christ. The way they live is different. It's holy. It's set apart. It brings glory to God without even saying anything. They're not false accusers. They're not going around gossiping all the time, slandering people all the time, falsely in particular. They're not given to much wine. They're not drunkards. They don't have a bottle in their hand all the time. They're teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. See, who's going to teach the young women if we don't have aged holy women? You know what I like? One thing I like a lot about this church, you kept the young people in all the way through worship. Praise God for that. We have done a disservice, and we've made a monumental mistake in the church, suburban church in America. We have divided ministry up like a piece, like a celery stick. You walk inside the church, you drop your kid off, babysitting time, they learn nothing, they're not around you, they don't see you worship, they don't hear you sing. They don't see anything. They don't hear anything. And then you wonder why they don't go to church when they're 18. They never went to church. They went to some branch of it. They were never in the sanctuary worshiping with you. Who's going to teach the younger women? Who's going to teach the younger men? That's where we missed it. We got everything. We got, listen, nursery, children's ministry, youth ministry, college and career ministry, family ministry, seasoned saints. I'm surprised there's no cemetery ministry. I mean, think about this. It's okay to have, listen, I like to hang out. In fact, I'm going to hang out with somebody that's about my age after this service. Okay? I understand that. You want to be with people in your same boat. You need that. Married couples want to be with married couples. Guys want to be, I understand that. But this is how you learn. What is a 14-year-old immature, foolish young man going to learn from another 14-year-old foolish young man? You know, he's going to learn how to be more foolish. No, you need to talk to, you need to be around Pastor Galvano. You need to be around Kazmik and Elder Ray and Julio and all these men. And the women need to be around the age women. I don't know as many as the names of the women, but I've saw them today. I know who they are, at least by face. They're very, very important to build God's church and God's kingdom. Listen to this. To be sober, that's of mine. Now here comes one that in this day and age, even in the church, the women's skin will start to crawl, some of them. Because you've been indoctrinated by the culture to think that this is wrong now, and it's not. God's word doesn't change. Listen to this. Hold on. Maybe you got to grasp your pew for this, some of the ladies. Just hold tight, clench in, it's fine. To love their husbands. Let me say that again. To love your husband. Doesn't say when your husband's kind to you. Doesn't say when your husband does what you want him to do. And that word love in the Greek is actually means affection. Some of you haven't been affectionate in decades. And can I tell you something? I'll be very honest. My wife may be watching this right now. My mother-in-law, I don't know. I want to be careful. I'm not offensive. Listen, I would like shrivel up and die without human touch from my wife. Yeah, it is the Italian thing. I'm used to it. My parents, we'd kiss on the cheek, even as a girl, hug, kiss. I need that. Who am I going to get it from if I don't get it from my wife? Well, who's your husband going to get it from if he doesn't get it from his wife? It says, drink from your own well, Proverbs says. Drink from your own well. Don't go with another. It says, the whorish woman reduces a man to a loaf of bread. You know what a loaf of bread does? It gets consumed. Just sits there and it gets devoured. And then the woman just wipes her feet like she did nothing. It's one of the biggest traps to ministers and to men in general. One of the biggest. And you know what scares me when men say this? Oh, I'll never do this. I'll never. I like to say to them, you're the number one candidate to fall. I'm going to ask you today, pray for me that I don't fall. I realize how fragile I am. I know where my eyes can go, my feet could go, my hands. I know that. We always have to keep that in the forefront of our mind. Love your husbands. Love your children. Now, see, you have an easier time with that one. Right? It's like, yes, my children, they came from you. They're from your womb. And that's more natural for you. But here's what happens. The children come along, and now your husband is forgotten about. God never ordained it that way. That's called being out of order. You want to talk about family being out of order? Your marriage is suffering. It's dying because you're so consumed with your kids. That is out of order, my friend. You have to work at your marriage. You have to pray for your marriage. You have to serve in your marriage. You know, when I was a younger man, when there was still more pink inside, and no one knew who I was, I didn't need them to. I would just go out on the streets, all these small towns, hold up a Bible and walk, pass out tract. No one knew who I was. I didn't need them to. But when I was a younger man in the ministry, teaching 7 and 8-year-olds, whatever I was doing in the ministry for the glory of God, I didn't care as much as I should about the needs of my wife, the needs of my children. I'm just being candid with you. I'm worshiping spirit and in truth. Now, my wife returns. I have a few nice surprises for her. I can't say it in case she's watching. Why? Because I care more. Because now, instead of rare, I'm more well done on the inside. It takes time to refine a man's character. It takes time to refine a woman's character. See, my wife will tell you this. She doesn't care if I speak to thousands of people in Africa or thousands of people. That doesn't bless or impress her. What does is if I serve her and I serve my children and I love her and I love my children, then she'll see the glory of God in her husband. You understand? Elaine's back there clapping. Elaine, we have a Lakeview outreach, which we always refer people here. Elaine already goes. She comes. It's been a big piece. I don't know if she thought I had a wife. It took like 2 years. Finally, she showed up. Remember, Elaine? I said, I told you guys I wasn't making it up. But you see, a lot of times my wife isn't there. You know why? Because she's back with the stuff. Those of you who know me, I have 6 kids. My first one just got married in June. She's 21 years old. She just got married. So there's one has launched. But I still have 5 others. Now they're teenagers. You know, they're getting, but the work never stops. It just changes. You know, last night, I'll be honest, I didn't sleep that well. You say, what do you mean? No one's home. You should. Well, no, my 19-year-old son's home. Do I have to elaborate on why I didn't sleep well? But they drive, and, you know, I'm checking my phone. Did he text me? Waking up every couple hours. It never stops. It just changes, just like ministry. And this woman at the well, just in her regular everyday duties, experienced the most supernatural thing she could ever. She met the Messiah and went back and proclaimed it to everyone. And people came to know him, that this truly indeed was the Messiah through her. The character is what matters to God. To be discreet, chaste, not drawing attention to yourself, a meek and quiet spirit. Okay, I think I'm going to say this. I hate the Jezebel spirit. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you have a Jezebel spirit, I pray you don't, because you're going to immediately, as soon as you hit my eyes, you're going to know that I'm right like this with you. That doesn't fly with me. You know why? It's out of order. It's against God. Listen, God has an order. God has an order. It's man, woman, children. That's the order of God. I am the head. I am not the tail. Why? Because God has ordained me to be the head of my family. Not all the women are clapping. Told you. But that's not going to change God's word. Now listen, you're not a tyrant. You're to submit to one another. You're to love your wife. You're to serve her. You're to lay your life down for her. But in the end, I'm the head. You know what I tell my boys? I said, the most important thing I can tell you, 3 sons, I go, listen to me, please listen to me. This is the most important thing I can tell you. Be the head, not the tail in your relationships. Be the head, not the tail. And you know what? My heartbroken son, his girlfriend didn't work out because he ended up being the tail. That Jezebel type thing got him. And I saw it and I tried and I can't help it. And in the end, what's it do? It just leaves you there like an Ahab with the dogs licking your blood on the side of the wall. That's it. Keepers at home. Keepers at home. The home, it doesn't say house. You don't have to have a house. You can have an apartment. You can have a studio. You can have a mansion. You can have a regular house. Keepers at home. Well, why? Why keepers at home and good? Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Why is the word of God blasphemed these days? Because no one knows the difference between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. No one knows the difference because the church is not doing it. And if the church doesn't do it, who is supposed to? People are, what's the difference between them? Look at how they, look at this. And the word of God is blasphemed. The word of God is blasphemed. Can I tell you something? There's nothing, nothing more beautiful on this earth, in my opinion, than a Proverbs 31 woman. The word of God says that she's more precious than rubies. Who can find one? By God's grace, I found one. Oh, that doesn't mean she's perfect. She doesn't always act like a ruby. Sometimes she acts like a piece of coal. But she's got to deal with me. That's even harder. And so together, for the glory of God, you partner in this union that is so attacked. And the reason it's so attacked is because it's a picture of Christ and the church. And nothing brings more glory to God than a holy marriage that loves Jesus. Now see, marriage ministry is good and it's needed. But you know what I tell a lot of the guys, because people still invite me to marriage, and I will, I'll come sometime to a different place, but they ask me, and you know what I tell them? And this is not, it's needed. I'll say, well, my marriage ministry is when I go to Strath Allen with my wife once every 2 or 3 months. That's my marriage ministry. No one's around. I'm going to take her away from everybody. She becomes a different person. She's not totally immersed, baptized in all the things at home and all the things she has to do. And I take her away, and all of a sudden we have this beautiful time together. And God is glorified, and our marriage is refreshed. And now we can go back and do the things just naturally, like this woman at the well was, and we can walk in our witness. Most of you in this fellowship right now, most, you're not going to be ordained as a pastor or an evangelist or whatever else. You may not be a missionary that's sent overseas to Pakistan or somewhere. But all of you, are a witness for Christ. You don't have to go across the world. You can go across the street if you just get that. I'll end with this. There was a woman, very lovely woman. She passed very quickly recently. Her name was Linda Martin. She was a mother of a couple from the former church of mine, and we stayed connected. They came to lead worship at Spencerport on occasion. And they were supposed to leave 1 week, and she said, I'm sorry, my mother's passed. I said, oh my goodness. It was very fast. She got diagnosed with a late stage cancer. So I felt this burden. I need to go to the memorial service. So I went out to Ontario, the memorial service. And the husband, Joe, the eulogy he gave, I was in tears the whole time. I mean, it was, what a legacy. And here's what really stuck out to me, one of the pieces, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Galvano to come back. Joe said it as a son-in-law, kind of for humor, but at the same time was so true. This woman, who just always had a smile, was joyous. She was discreet, chaste, keeper of the home. She loved her husband. She loved her children. When they would move from one house to the next, maybe Ontario to Webster, you know what she'd do? She'd move next to them. And then they moved again. And you know what Linda Martin did? She moved again. You know why? Because that was too far away to be from her grandchildren. That was her ministry. That was her ministry. Nothing fancy. No stars in the sky. No one calling her name. Man, what a legacy. What a witness. The witness of a godly grandmother. Some of you have one. You've had one. A godly mother. Wow. It's powerful. Last one, okay? Pastor Giovanni. Last one, then I'm calling you back up. I'm looking at the clock, okay? There was a pastor in Maine, Tony Joseph. Who's ever heard of Tony Joseph? Two people. That's because you went to the church. I said that purposely. No one knew Tony Joseph. He just passed recently. He passed right around the time another well-known preacher named John MacArthur passed. Who's ever heard of John MacArthur? Okay, so we have some hands that go up, and other circles even more. So John MacArthur passes, everybody knows, and they mourn his loss, and well-deserved. 2 days later, a greater giant passed. His name was Tony Joseph. You say, well, how can you say that? I knew this man. This man always had a smile. Oh, he was a pastor. But you know who he ministered to? The nursing homes for 30 years. And he loved it. Last time I saw him, I said, hey, how's the nursing home ministry going? He said, oh, Pastor Dom, I love it. He goes, I just love it. Who knows about nursing? Who cares about nursing? He does. Jesus does. Jesus does, you see. He just did what he was called to do. There's no fame. There's no fortune. You just walk in your witness, whatever God's called you to do. I really believe, this is honestly what I think. I don't believe for this right here. I believe I will be in the back of the auditoriums of heaven. I don't believe I'll be in the front because God's given me this platform. Billy Graham said, no. I'm not the greatest soul winner. It's the guy that was handing out tracts that's selling hot dogs outside of the stadium. He's the greatest. Walk worthy. Walk in your witness. Just naturally walk in your witness. God will use you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person here at Hope Christian Fellowship, Lord. I thank you for the men. I thank you for the women. Bless the remaining time at the men's retreat. Bless these precious ladies. There are some Marys in this house today. There are some women who have washed your feet with their tears. There are some women who have served you in prayers and fastings like Anna did. There's some couples in here that are like Priscilla and Aquila. They're discipling people. And there's some men in here who are mighty men of God like Gideon. Empower them today. The men, the women, the children, the families, for your glory and your honor alone, in spirit and truth, in Jesus' name. And all of God's family together said, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Come on, put your hands together for our brother.